It's gonna be May.
Why did you make up face after you said it?
It's because I couldn't help it. It was like an intrusive thought. I had to say it.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
I'm J.R. Phillips. I'm the one that won't shut up. And yeah, you can't make me, okay?
And I'm Nico Harlequendon. I'm the one who took notes, lit them on fire, and then started a completely separate new project instead.
And welcome to
BAM! Now you know everything!
So you had a Star Wars household, or were you just the Star Wars freak in your household? Just kidding.
A Kashyyyk freak. Love, true fans of Star Wars will know what the hell that is.
I was like, I have no idea what that is.
That's the planet where Chewie's from.
Wait.
Right? Chewie's lovable.
I like, actually, did you like the Solo movie, though?
Which one was that?
It was like...
I didn't see it.
Okay, because even like diehard Star Wars fans that I've talked to, not like that. I like how we're just fucking with our hair because this is the podcast.
And it's our second one. People need to know behind the scenes that we do two a week because we have wives.
Get it gone. You're like Audrey Hepburn.
You said that other girl from the podcast you watch was Audrey Hepburn.
I know. And she is a little like that. But you,
she is for sure.
She is very much like that. Don't come for me, Paige. I do really think you look like Audrey Hepburn. But you also have the Audrey Hepburn vibe.
Even though I'm mean and have a nose ring?
I think you're, you know, like when they do Disney princesses and they alternative, like alt style them.
I used to love those so much. It's cringe. Thank you for saying that. That's the best compliment you could ever give me.
I never know when I'm saying something that you're going to love, but it usually happens. And it's just because we're very much in sync.
Yes. It's going to be May.
Why did you make up things after you said it?
It's because I couldn't help it. It was like an intrusive thought. I had to say it.
Oh my gosh. Oh, it is May.
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you, which is kind of why I was talking about Star Wars, because I feel like a little bit of a liar to my patrons, because I'm sending out the mini collection on May the 4th, the sci-fi, but I am not a Star Wars, like, it's not my nerd sector. Like, I know a lot about it, but I couldn't be like, let me tell, like, you just spat off Chewie's planet. I could never do that.
That's because I prepared for the COVID pandemic by isolating myself in my room in middle school and just reading Star Wars novelization. So don't think I'm that cool.
You're like, there has to be a plague. We're due. Let me just prepare myself.
Yeah.
I love that.
Talk about a deep dive. So you were talking about like the Solo movie. There's actually a Han Solo trilogy in this expanded universe I was telling you about on the live that we just came from. And I was obsessed with like the adventures of young Han Solo and like how he met Chewie. I don't know. It was one of those things. It was just like a brainworm moment. Did you have anything like that?
I feel like I would like that story because I love Solo. You want to hear something traumatizing that might be why I don't like Star Wars? Well, I was a 10.5-pound baby. Okay. That's important to the story. I was so big, but I had problems. So I had to go in the NICU ward, you know, I had to go to the NICU. I had a teeny tiny shirt on because I'm in this preemie section and I'm 10.5 pounds. I'm a Goliath compared to these kids. These babies. So my mom goes and, you know, down the road, obviously I'm fine. I'm here. She goes to get like pictures of my sister and I, and I'm huge. Right. So the guy, the photographer is like, oh, she can sit up. And my mom's like, she cannot sit up. And he's like, but she's big. So they had me sit up and I had drool just pouring because I'm a baby. And I'm sick because you're making me sit up and my organs aren't ready for that. And I have 10 chins in these pictures. So My family lovingly calls me Jabba the Hutt. They call me Jabba the Hutt until I was 5 years old because it just sort of stuck as a nickname. You know, they didn't mean it to be mean, okay?
Yeah.
They didn't mean to give me a complex, all right? But my mom's teaching, she's a teacher, fifth grade, I'm five, getting ready for kindergarten, and she's putting on the Star Wars movies for her class. I'm in there, and the kids are having fun, and they're like, oh, Jabba the Hutt, and I'm like, and I look at the screen, and I scream in terror and sadness, and I'm hyperventilating. These two fifth grade girls are walking me to kindergarten class down the hall, and I'm hyperventilating, like, do I look like that? Am I Jabba? I need my mommy. Like, all this stuff. So funny.
What a way to find out where your namesake, your nicknamesake is coming from.
I know, right? But it makes up for it because Jessica is like Lady Jessica from Dune. So I'll take that. Okay. I'll forget about Jabba. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. Eventually. Through years of therapy that I'll eventually go to. Maybe.
No matter how great our parents are, there's always something you have to unravel in therapy.
Yeah. There's always like a little yarn, you know, of hurt. But I think like I was so mean as an adolescent. I don't know how you were. I don't know.
I have stories, but what do you mean? I can't imagine. I can't fathom you being mean.
I made a lot of poor decisions. I was a late bloomer when it came to poor decisions. I waited until I was 18 to make pretty poor decisions. And because of that, my mom and I were like, you know, grinding on each other's nerves a little bit. I wasn't mean until I was almost out of the house. So when you do like shadow work and stuff to try to like, you know, build up your inner child and revisit and stuff, when those memories are so fresh of you just being an asshole for no reason or a reason or whatever, it's like extra kind of hard to work through it because I don't have like, you're just a kid. I wasn't. I was 18. Dumbass.
No. Oh, come on. I know what you're saying because you're a responsible human being and you're so just chock full of empathy, but the human brain doesn't finish developing until probably like 25.
I know. And
you're still a kid.
Yeah, but then when you, so that new science and stuff that comes out all the time, yeah. Like learning new science definitely helps. Like me be like, oh yeah, I wasn't like firing on all cylinders. I don't know. I just wasn't there yet. I thought I was, like we talked about in the last one, like you think you're there and keep thinking, but you just never know until you.
Also, I have a hypothesis about young adults, and that is that we all start, well, okay, so sure. Little babies and toddlers and children, less so, they're sweet. But like young adults have a required degree of sociopathy and they do not grow out of it until later. Like when they learn empathy through hard times.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, even teenagers, right? Like, you know, MCR, teenagers scare the living shit out of me.
Yes.
As a teenager, I was like, yeah, I'm singing the song, Be Scared of Me. Now I'm an adult and I'm like, I am scared of you. I am. I don't actually want to hang out with you. I wish that you guys don't murder me. Maybe I listen to too much true crime too, because there's a lot of kids out there murdering their parents. And maybe that's another reason not to have kids.
Another favorite topic of ours.
We bring this up all the time. We're just so satisfied with our life.
You know what? Not everything goes our way, but we should celebrate what has.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm sorry if you hear my dog. She's brought me a fish, Sammy. Like I tried to lock her out, but then she cries. So it's either you get Sammy the fish or annoyance.
I welcome Lady Arwen. She is always...
You know, Arwen is a Virgo.
Your dog? I didn't know. Wait.
I know. And in D&D, oh my God. In Lord of the Rings, I definitely believe that Arwen has a Pisces moon. And I definitely believe she's a Libra sun because she's so beautiful. So I didn't really nail down the rising I would give her, but I definitely think Pisces moon, and she's the only one. I really wanted Galadriel to be a Pisces. I held back. I really wanted everybody to be a Pisces, obviously, but I held back.
Yeah.
Okay. Just because she dreams in her sleep. you know, like, mm-hmm. and has visions like that and is intuitive to the emotions around her. Now let's talk about Arwen the dog. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
She's a Virgo. She trained herself in 2 weeks. Okay. She was like trained herself. I had a crate. She Houdini'd out of it. Didn't chew up anything. Found her like a tiny little donut on the couch looking at me like, don't be mad at me, but I just hate it in there. So I never put her back in. She keeps her toys neat. Like she likes to see where they are. She's like such a little Virgo.
She's perfect and pristine. She can do no wrong.
And since I'm a Pisces and she's a Virgo, like we connected so fast when I found her, you know? And so it was like, I was holding her at the shelter for like hours because they were trying to tell me to put her back down in the cold crate. And I was like, no, this is my dog now. So I'm going to just tell me what paperwork to fill out. She's mine now. And I'm going to take her because I love her.
Yep. No going back. No takesie backsies.
No. You can't have her. She's mine now.
Perfect. Smokey is an Aquarius. Maybe that's why I love him so much. I saw him as a little ball of fluff and I'm like, I love him. He's a little asshole and he tries to bite me all the time, but I love him.
He's like, I'm curious, Mom. I'm just trying to like figure out the vibes of these aliens. Don't you know about the aliens? My sister's an Aquarius and I think I was telling you that she loves sci-fi, right? And I didn't want to pigeonhole her.
Oh, so perfect. Yeah.
And we looked up her chart and she does not subscribe to this chart. She like is a person that is like, I hate this because she's like a lot of Aquarius like throughout her whole chart. And she likes to go by the Celtic like trees that they followed and stuff. So she's like a rowan tree and like yes. She knows all about that. But anyway, I'm like, Katie, you are all about aliens. All the time. James Webb posts a new telescope image. What? Guess who's sending it to me? My sister. There is nothing more Aquarius than that. And also, she loves to write and act. So it's like very cerebral, very much.
Yeah, very. What's her rising?
I don't know off the top of my head because I don't know what time she was born. And she didn't let me like look it up.
At least she is an Aquarius rising, though. I love Aquarius rising. They have these high cheekbones. They look a little bit like an alien. And it's just so, like, cool and great. They have such a great look.
I know that she says her chart is mostly Aquarius. I don't want to call her a liar.
A fibber.
Okay? Fibber. But I forget the chart. I remember when I looked up my parents' chart and I was like, let me explain why you guys love each other. It's funny. But I forget hers off the top of my head. I got to look it up. Come back.
You got to do a little recon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love saving people's birth charts. If they provide it to me, again, this is very consensual. I'm not a little freakazoid and I'm not going to go poking around playing FBI on people. But I just love it because my favorite way to look at astrology is like observational astrology. So like using those data points of people and connecting them to other people I know and figuring out why, doing some infernal calculus. But I heard that you did a little infernal calculus on some of your favorite people that you've observed in literature.
Yeah, yeah, I have. Because I feel like D&D helps a lot feel with signs. And I'm not saying D&D used astrology. Okay, I'm not saying that.
That'd be cool.
But I feel like we have these similar archetypes that you find everywhere. And astrology is pretty ancient. So it's not far-fetched to think that somebody created other systems based upon something that already existed. So when it comes to like Lord of the Rings, I immediately think of D&D as well. And then I think of how you create a character and you have to have certain things. And sometimes I like to create characters that are very much like one side. Of, you know, like if I'm making a rogue, they're heavy Scorpio, right? They're heavy, heavy Scorpio and a little bit of Cap and a little bit of Sag. It's you. Because Sag brings the charisma that a rogue has to have. Cap brings, okay, I need to know exactly where I'm going in, the planning aspect of it. And Scorpio is like, yeah, bro, it doesn't matter if we stabbed them. They had the thing we needed. Let's get out of here. And that's just the kind of vibe that rogues have to have.
A little edgelord.
Did you just call yourself an edgelord?
That's how you described me.
I
love it. I love it so much.
I did not mean for it to come out to be you, but then I was like, it's happening. I can't stop it because it's true. This is what it is.
I love this. I would have been fine with being a barbarian because I am a hidden secret Sag son, but this is great.
Yeah.
A barbarian sneaky.
Would be cool. But I did say for Lord of the Rings, and I really wish I had my goddamn cheat sheet that I wrote.
I know. We can save that for another time. But I did want to talk a little bit about it because you're so good at this. This is going to be a thread through like our entire lives, I'm sure. But you're just so good.
Can I? Okay. This might get me into trouble. Okay.
We don't have to.
We all know that Geminis are verbose people. I have a Gemini Mars. Okay. I am very vocal. I can tell when somebody has a Gemini in their chart, like a million miles away, because I recognize myself. Okay. I'm not cringing at you. I'm cringing with you. But I guessed this lady's birth chart that I work with. We're sitting at lunch and I had been working with her now for like about a month because she was helping out during maternity leave. And she tells great stories in an interesting way. And sometimes they go on for a long time. Like she would thrive on a podcast. Okay.
Oh my God. Where
she said something, and I'm never in the best mood at work. Let's be honest. Okay.
Who could be?
Yeah. She says something, and I'm like, okay. And this is totally Gemini of me too, because I'm gossiping, whatever. Anyway, she leaves the lunchroom and I just nonchalantly say, she's a Gemini. She's got Leo and she's got Sagittarius in her big three. I know it. She comes back in and I go, Do you know what your birth chart is by chance? And she looks at me kind of confused. And then she's born May 23rd. I was like, yeah, I know, Gemini. Then she's like, yeah, and Leo moon, Sag rising. And then all my coworkers were like, can you read my palm? And I'm just like, it's so easy to tell about the endearing things that can grate you at the end of something. That's how you can really tell somebody's stuff.
That's the flavor profile. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I did it again. And then that night you were live with Sam and I couldn't hear anything. So nothing was spoiled for me. But I went in there and I knew he had to have Leo because I had watched him, because I'm a creep, on lives. And I was like, this guy's got Leo energy. Like, I know he's Sag. I know that gives him some of his fire. But he also has like, he's got to have Leo in there. And then I like turned it up like a smidge after I typed it. And I heard you guys like talking about it. And I was like,
I called it out to you. Yeah.
And I was like, two in a row. In the same day? That's crazy.
It's because you're a Pisces.
I don't know what to do with this power. I don't know how to make it lucrative other
that
than...
That would be great.
Yeah. it's like a kissing booth, but not, you know, it's like, hey, I'll guess your sign. If I'm wrong, I owe you not a kiss. I'm not doing that, but, you know.
I know. I totally get it. You know what would be cool? So long ago, I released like a snake witch planner, right? And so I sold some copies off of my own website because it was going to be signed and there were going to be little freebies and stuff with it too. And people could upgrade to a tarot reading, an astro reading. I analyzed their birth chart and I put it in with the planner, sent it off to them. We should do something like that.
That would be so much fun.
You would
fun.
Be so good at that.
Send a picture, three things that you hate, three things that you love. Give me a little bit, okay? Like if I can't watch your mannerisms.
Yeah.
You know?
I think
I could do it.
You'd be a great tarot reader too, though.
I have a tarot deck. I don't want to act like I know more than I do. Like, I feel like I know me. So when I'm sitting down with me and like reading it myself, like especially when I'm writing an arduous first draft and second guessing everything I've ever known about myself and creative prowess. And I sit down with my deck and I ask it, hey, am I on the right path? Or, hey, will this shit ever get done? You know, then I kind of know, like, I'm not going to goof myself. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to,
yeah.
I'm not going to take away from the process. But with other people, I would feel really bad if I'm like finding all these negative, like, emotions and stuff. But, yeah. And I would feel bad because I'd be like, I'm really sorry. I'm not predicting anything. Something's going on, you know, like, if you want to talk about it. But, like, I feel like yeah. you've got to charge more if you're going to talk about the problems, too.
A therapist surcharge, yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we're here. Maybe it could offer you something else to take the edge off, but I'm probably not the best person to help you through stuff because have you gone to therapy? Have you done therapy?
Hell yeah. Desperately needed therapy. I technically like counseling, but yeah, definitely.
Did it work for you? Like,
so,
or yeah, is it sure. working or I don't know.
So not still seeing anyone at the moment.
Sure.
Should I be? Sure. Who has the time? But definitely for long stints of time and desperately like looked forward to like meeting with this woman. But I will also say like it needs to be someone that's a really good fit. Think about how weird I am, right? Like not just any therapist or counselor is going to be able to, first off, handle me, but also just like understand where I'm coming from and understand like that I'm not crazy, like the things that you fear that therapists.
Right, right.
And to be able to display to me that I'm comfortable and safe. So I was very fortunate to be partnered because everything is work. I was very fortunate to find someone who was a little younger, happened to be a little progressive, and also was a woman. So like she definitely understood like the difficult things being talked about and wasn't the type of person to judge a nose ring, judge a this or that, judge a whatever type of issue that I brought forward. Because even if she hadn't gone through what I had, she knew people who did. So it wasn't like going to someone who was much older or someone who has a completely different worldview and being like, what's wrong with you? You know what it is? You just have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and figure this and this out and you'll be fine, kid. Why are you crying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like being like how they used to think like deviant nature stemmed from tattoos and
hell yeah.
And like piercings and stuff and like, you know, and like all that stuff. Like
therapies. I've heard horror stories from friends who have been paired up with like that exact type of therapist. And like sometimes it's so insidious because you could meet with someone for a couple of times and they don't show it. And then just bam, you feel a switch flip in someone that you're trying to make yourself trust. And I can't imagine how difficult that would be. And that would make me not want to go.
Yeah. My parents made me go to counseling when we moved, because I moved from Maryland, like I moved 1,000 miles sophomore year of high school. So I was kind of going through like teenage stuff and they made me go and I don't remember it at all. So I feel like it was tough and I feel like I could benefit from it, but I've taken so many psych courses. Sometimes I feel like I know myself so much and I know what I'm doing is wrong or not good for me, you know, like my brain, but I don't know how to like compute it. So it's hard to think that it could work. I feel like for people probably feel like if they haven't gone, they probably are thinking like me of like, oh, it won't work on me because I self-awareness, you know,
kind that of thing. Is hard. So like intellectualizing emotions, self-awareness, those are all like really tough things to handle. So I guess it does really depend on like what you need. But like if you're the type of person who a bunch of people have talked to me this week about imposter syndrome. So I'm just going to use that as an example. Like if it's something anxiety fueled or imposter syndrome, like sometimes a quick reframe when you're caught in your thoughts from someone else who's not a friend can really help. You know?
Yeah, that's true too. Like just having that unbiased person where you can't say, oh, they're lying, you know, like, oh, they're just trying to make me feel better. They're my mom. They have to love me. They're this, they have to do this. It's kind of nice to get that like bipartisan, no, Non-biased?
Unbiased. Non-partisan?
Non-partisan issue. It's kind of nice to have somebody like that backs you up and like is in your corner and everything else without feeling like there have to be.
Yeah. Or like if someone is in a situation where they don't have anyone they can rely on, or like maybe they've been gaslit for a long time. Maybe they've had an abusive partner for a substantial amount of time. Maybe they've had the unfortunate circumstance of having like really shitty guardians or parents. And so like their worldview is so skewed negatively and even inward at themselves. Like I would say it's a deal breaker. You got to go. Like you need to talk to someone who can show you like while you're talking through things and talking about your thoughts that like doesn't have to be so negative.
Right. And this like kind of made me think of something else too, because you know, the gaslight abuser aspect of things, because I've also seen like a lot of people like still try to say like, you know, outdated, why didn't you just leave? Why didn't, you know, like all the stuff that makes us, like collapse of like, do I really have to hold your hand? But I think some people still don't understand that an abuser does not think they are a monster. So they're not like actively plotting. It's not like that movie with Jennifer Lopez where her husband was like really nice to everybody else all the time. Super CEO, super whatever, calculating his moves and then being like, I'm going to go beat you at home. It's not like that. It's more like they have a mental illness themselves and you love them and you're seeing them battle it. And you're seeing them fight to stay above the water and lose over and over again. So you're not leaving them because you love them. Like, they didn't do it on purpose. And we would love if they did do it on purpose, because that would be easier to leave, right? But like narcissists, gaslighters, abusers don't always know, and most of the time don't know, that they are being the monster. They truly believe that they are the victim and that you're making them feel that way and you're making it. And now you believe you're making it. So now you're like trapped in a whirlwind of like, you can't do it. I can't, you know, how do I leave? How do I get out of here? You know, should I even? Why? He's not a monster, you know, or she's not a monster, or, you know, whatever the situation is. And if your parent is, God, you've said that's why it's such a cyclical thing. So I think a lot of people forget. They don't wear monster masks and come home and beat the crap out of you. You know, they wear a mask of a victim because they truly believe that that's what they are.
Absolutely. I mean, and then there are some cases which are even less frequently romanticized because it's so difficult to. And that is when someone who is a survivor of abuse does not necessarily any longer or at any point love their abuser, but has absolutely no recourse, no resources, no local social welfare programs or anything like that to be able to get out of a situation like that. They're just kind of stuck.
Yeah. Like, I mean, even now, like right now, I am in a very comfortable, I'm in a loving, healthy, you know, situation. And with all the turmoil that is happening around the country, around the world, actually, we want to get like picky about it. But the thought or act of having to pick up everything and move somewhere potentially safer for you is, you almost can't think about it. And I'm somebody that's moved often. I've moved often in my life. But right now, if you told me you need to get out or you're going to die tomorrow or something, then I'm like, how am I don't have the means. How am I going to get out? Like bank account, my stuff, longings, memories. If you have kids, I have a dog, you know, I'm not leaving her. Logistically you have to do all this stuff. Even if you're not in a nefarious situation, you still are going to have, it's still a lot of planning. That's why people take a year to move, a year to pack, a year to find a house, a year to do, you know, or more.
Yeah. Impossible.
It's impossible. Wow. We just got like a little bit dark. I'm sorry, guys. Sometimes that's going to happen. Sometimes we're going to be light and fluffy and just laughing and giggling. And sometimes we're going to be like, ugh, this is real world stuff. And we're both writers and we both want to dive into like the psychology of everything all the time. At least I do. I'm speaking for you. but
please.
I just feel like it's second nature. And then to be an educator on top of it, like I have to do it all the time. So I'm constantly like, oh, how are you doing? How are you feeling? You know, that kind of thing. But yeah.
Yeah. Wholeheartedly agree. And we're humans too, even on top of like writers or whatever. But like, this is happening to us. To a lesser extent, we are both very lucky and grateful for being so lucky, but
yeah,
still tough.
And it took a long time. Like, I think that's why shadow work, and I'm going to keep bringing it up because I think it's a cool topic for us to talk about, because we talk about like a lot of like occult things and a lot of like, I call it witchy woo things, but shadow work was such a big part of my Saturn return when that was happening. And it's usually a big thing for everyone. But for me especially, it's when I first realized, like, I had to forgive my inner child, right? Like, my dumbass 18-year-old self. But also, way before then, too, when I was sneaking snacks I wasn't supposed to have and, you know, whatever.
You did that, too?
Yeah. So I, like, of course, you know, you're going through all that trivial things from middle school that might haunt you. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm cursed with like a memory of an elephant. Like, I might forget what I was going to say, or I might forget what I wrote down an hour ago, but you best believe I remember every single thing from middle school, good and bad. And they haunt me in my dreams. It's scary. Yeah.
Oh, they haunt you in your dreams. I remember only the bad, like the scarring, like stupid missteps, like social missteps haunt me forever. And I can't remember anything good.
Okay. You want to hear my outfit from middle school?
You only had one and you remember it? Yes.
Yeah, I only had one because I think my depression was, you know, manifesting, you know, at this time.
So it was your go-to.
My friend Amanda stitched these pants that said Jessica down the leg. Sweatpants were big when I went to middle school. They're coming back now. They went away for a while and it was like the couture, Juicy Couture, whatever came out. But when we wore baggy stuff, you know what I mean? And then in high school, things switched to sexify stuff. In middle school, I wore the same sweatpants. Okay, I had a rotation because I saw Green Day that year and I was like obsessed. They were on their American Idiot tour.
Yeah.
And I had their faces just plastered on this shirt. Like I was thinking I was the coolest ever. Or I had a Michael Jordan t-shirt, 23, because I played basketball. So I was like, everybody should need to know that I play basketball. So I'm going to wear this. This is when it gets weird.
Cringy. Ooh, here we go.
Okay. Okay. I had a visor from...
this is the cringy part of it. But wait. When you say visor, do you mean like the 80s visor that was like see-through PVC plastic, like yellow and green? Like, okay. Like putt-putt golf, grandma's going out. Okay, so it was like a regular sports visor.
I wish, in a way. Okay. It was an ICP Insane Clown Posse visor.
I mentioned ICP to you and you didn't respond. Did you feel judged? I'm so sorry.
No. I don't.
Okay.
I'm blanking.
That's okay. I just referenced, I think I was talking about like Faygo and moving to the Midwest.
Yes.
I was talking about ICP.
I didn't hear the Faygo part. Okay. So I know the Great Malenko album by heart. For ICP. Okay. I sometimes just bust out in song with it.
Nice.
And it's great. And we have a lot of fun with it. But anyway, that was my middle school outfit. And of course, people were like, ICP, you know, like middle schoolers are mean, obviously. But I, being the stubborn person I am, and anti-trends and anti-aesthetic and anti-looking good, I was like, I look so cool, actually. And I would flip the visor upside down so it stuck up like a ducktail, like I was on Jackass.
I love this so much. But you said you didn't even get to the cringy part yet.
That was the cringy part. The ICP part is kind of the cringy part. Because they're very misunderstood. That magnets thing came out and like, what do they do?
It's like the only thing I know. That and The Gathering.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what The Gathering is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are the only two things I know about them.
Well, ICP is actually pretty cool in terms of if Nazis show up to their shows, the Nazis get beat I love that. One of their songs is literally dedicated to murder fantasy of abusers.
Okay.
They are very unhinged. Okay. They are very dark and they sometimes don't have a good flow. But there's a few songs out there that are great and I'll stand by it for a long time. If I find out that they're problematic in any way, I'll eat my words, okay? I don't know that much about them. I do know a few key things. I know a whole album. I stand by it. For now.
We're down with the clown for now until proven otherwise. Isn't that what people say?
No, they are. But that makes me think of... See, different things will trigger me to almost say, like, a stanza, you know? I'll, like, almost break out into it. Like, I can't. It's okay. Let's move on.
I love it. I loved so much cringy shit when I was younger, too. I wish I could remember. My memory's bad, so. You know what I used to do in middle school? Okay, besides read Star Wars. Spend all my allowance money on these, like, $6.99 mass market paperback.
Hell yeah.
Chunky Star Wars novels. But, like, I used to download a lot of, like, music from, like, Kazaa and Napster and all of that.
So Metallica wants to put you in jail.
They can suck it.
Metallica was actually one of the best live shows that I've seen recently. And they're, like, old, okay? Okay, I'm sorry.
I love this.
I just stole you a little bit.
Steal the show, madame.
Okay. Went to Rockville a couple years ago, and I was so excited to see Rob Zombie and Metallica. It's like these older bands, you know, but they were from what I loved. Like, I love White Zombie, Rob Zombie. I love Metallica. Rob Zombie gets out on the stage, and he is, like, heavy breathing. Like, he's not even singing. I'm singing more than him. I'm so disappointed. And obviously, I'm probably singing more than anybody because I'm excited and that's what I do. So I'm just like, dig through the ditches. I'm like screaming it. And I'm like, why do I hear me more than I hear him? And he's got speakers. And I look up and he's just like swinging the microphone. He's like not dancing. Just don't come after me, Rob Zombie fans. I love Rob Zombie, but the live show was not my favorite. Metallica comes out and they sound pristine. And they're old, but they sound pristine. And he gave us a voice lesson in the middle of it. He was like, I want you guys to go like, and we would do it. And he's like, no. Actually do this. Pretend you have a balloon, you know, like a choir teacher. And I was like, this is amazing. Anyway, they had a thing about that.
I love that. I do not judge Metallica badly for any other reason other than if they didn't want me to enjoy my little middle school life without any money and enjoy music, they can get bent. And also, I wasn't downloading their music anyways.
You weren't cool enough, dude.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, you weren't even on the middle school radar. Okay. Get out of here. Get out of here, Metallica.
What did I listen to in middle school? Probably like J-Lo or something lame and poppy.
My household. My household was very much a hipster household before hipsters were a thing. It's like a pretentious thing. You know what I mean?
Intellectual, brainiac little hipsters, I bet.
You know what we would play, like games? We'd play Fictionary was the game we would play. And Do you know what Fictionary is?
It sounds like Pictionary, and I loved Pictionary.
I love Pictionary. But Fictionary is when, and this is how nerdy it gets, okay? You take a dictionary and one person picks an obscure word and the rest of the table has to write a definition for the obscure word. The person that's guessing here has to read all the definitions that are in the hat, right? And the real one is in there. And they have to figure out which one is the weird, was the real one. Now, imagine being a 9-year-old around a table of adults trying to pick an obscure word that these adults don't know. It was very difficult, but sometimes I was successful. A lot of times it was a growing experience. I'm now much better at it, but that's the kind of like table. That's what we did for fun.
It sounds like you had no other recourse but to become a writer after a childhood like that.
Yeah, I feel like I've, you know, It's just like in the blood, like my dad, my grandma, yeah. Everybody does. And on my dad's side, it's very much intellectual. Like it's chats were always very intellectual. Like they didn't really want to talk about like I love talking about Bravo and like the Housewives and Summer House and cool, niche, fun stuff. But I know when I'm going to go visit my grandparents that they're not going to know anything I'm talking about. So I need to be like up to date on current events, and I need to be like, you know what I mean? Like there's like that different like level of entertainment.
Put away the brain junk food and take out the brain salad. Yeah.
But I can sometimes catch myself sounding pretentious, which I catch other people sounding pretentious. And I feel like I do that because I'm pretentious at times. So when I say these men are being pretentious about romance, I know that I'm also kind of pretentious because I'm saying the most pretentious thing I've said this week. I don't know celebrity names. So can you please just tell me the character? And it came out of, it didn't sound like that, obviously, but I definitely was like at the end of it, like, wow, did you have to say, I don't know celebrities, actually. Excuse me, I have no time for Hollywood. Like, that's how it came off. And honestly, I know a lot of stupid reality TV stars, but I can't know a famous, world-renowned, Oscar-winning actor, but I can know who is, I know Andy Cohen and how amazing he is on his shows.
I love that so much. There are a couple people I can always rely on to, like, let me know, like, out loud in public when I'm sounding pretentious and I don't know that I am, and I love it. It's embarrassing as hell, but, yeah. They both have prominent Capricorn placements.
Caps will call you out. The goat knows.
The goat does know. I love that.
The goat knows. Oh my God. My friend Colin is a Capricorn and he's very meticulous, very neat and meticulous, but I don't know his whole chart. So
do you game with Colin? The name sounds familiar.
He came onto a live. We play similar games, but I have not gamed with him.
Gotcha.
I think he streams too sometimes. I have to get his info if I'm going to keep talking about him randomly. Everybody in my life knows that their name's going to come out of my mouth because that's how I am, like in real life.
I love it. I feel like I know them.
Yeah, I'm introducing you to these characters.
They're egregores to me. They're just like concepts.
Yeah.
But
oh, I got to flesh those suckers out.
I love it.
No, I am. No one. I don't know if people don't tell me when I'm being pretentious, but I don't know if it's because I'm good at making it like a joke or
you are
like
very funny.
Like the Sag part of me is
like it's forgivable.
Yeah. It's like I'm saying it and then I do like, and then they're like, gosh, you don't mean nothing. You know what I mean? Or this isn't what I was thinking too. Sometimes people like when I look at you, okay, this is tricky to say.
Just be mean. It's okay. I will never be mad at you.
No. It's not offensive what I'm going to say, but you don't look, it's not funny. That you don't look innocent. It's like you don't look like naive. There we go. That's the term. You don't look naive. You don't have an air about you like that. I, on the other hand, I look naive sometimes because I have these stupid big eyes and sometimes I'm just going like making a dumb face and I'm just like, doing this lollipop, you know, I feel like I come off like that. And then they talk to me and then they're like, no, she's not what I thought she was. I thought I was going to be able to do what I wanted with her. And like, that's why, you know, like a lot of drama llama starts sometimes, not at me, but like around me because I don't partake in the drama, but I look like, oh, she'll just go with everything I say. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Am I like mm-hmm. so off base there? Like, or like, do I actually look like a murderer? You know, like, I don't know. I don't know, but that's
listen,
how I feel.
I'm sure you're very capable of committing murder and other heinous crimes. I'm not going to undercut your abilities that way. But you do have an air of not innocence. I know better. You do have an air of trust. You very much have an air of trust about you. And I think maybe because you just were talking about precociousness and pretentiousness. Maybe you've worked really hard to counteract that. And that's what people see.
That would be really cool. And if the world could unanimously tell me that, then maybe my shadow work could, you know, go to the next level. But right now we're here. But you know the video where they're like, they're in their therapist armchair and they're like, but I've manipulated everybody to like me. And then the therapist is like, no, you didn't. Sometimes I feel like I've done that to everything. And then I have to be like, no, you're not. You're powerful. You're not that powerful, bitch. Like, calm down. You're good.
I have to go find a first edition of Fictionary to pair with Balderdash, which is really what that game is called. This has been BAM. Now you know everything. We hope you join us next time. Check out what we're up to down below and have just a great weekend.